Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is John chapter 15, verse 5 to 8. John chapter 15, verse 5 to 8. I like to read, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they get them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. But this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the word of God. Today's title is Ask Whatever You Wish For. Ask whatever you wish for. Today's passage is a scripture verse that we know very well. In John chapter 14, the previous chapter, the Lord let us know that through his death on the cross and his resurrection, he is the way to Father. And he promised that he is going to the Father's house to prepare the dwelling place for believers. He has made ready, and that he will come again. At the same time that he promised to send the Holy Spirit to the disciples who remain on this earth with a troubled heart, and he speaks about what kind of life of faith we are to live as we wait for the Lord. This is the content of today's passage. Through the parable of the vine, the Lord is telling his true disciples that they must be united with the Father and the Lord, just as they are in him and he is in them, and the Father is in the Lord, and the Lord is in the Father. When we are united with the Lord in this way, the first result is that we bear much fruit. As disciples of Jesus, what kind of fruit should we bear on this earth until the Lord returns? First, there must be fruit of repentance. According to the Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, therefore bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. And the scripture said, the John the Baptist and the Jesus said, is first we have to be keeping with the repentance. Without this fruit, no other fruit can be born. Even if fruit is born, it will be all be evil branches and wild grapes, false fruit that God does not desire. By bearing the fruit of the repentance and becoming new peoples, we can bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the nine kinds. The Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 24, you can find that. We must also bear the fruit of the gospel, which is the fruit of evangelism. Also, you can find at the Colossians chapter 1, verse 6. And the John, according to the John chapter 13, verse 34, the Jesus said the fruit of love is also something we must bear. Therefore, those who can enter the new heaven and new earth are not those who bear only one fruit that God desired in paradise, but those who bear 12 kinds of fruit, various kinds of fruit. Amen. You can see that Revelation chapter 22, verse 2 is the tree of life, but it's not only one. It's each side of the liver was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. It's like that. And when we are united with the Lord, the second he says in verse 7, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Isn't this a promise full of hope? Something worth believing in and waiting for? Isn't this a promise that shows us the certainty that the fruit of prayer, the answer to prayer, is abundant? However, this should not be misinterpreted to mean that he will simply grant us everything we desire. There is a prerequisite. We must not forget that when we depart from the Lord and our lives become separate from Him, we are unable to do anything. Today, I would like to share with you the grace that the fathers give us, focusing on this second point. Verse 5 and 7 of John chapter 15 clearly speak of union with the Lord, but verse 7, which is the main text, speaks of verse 5 from a slightly different angle, or rather in a more specific way. I read again, is John chapter 15, verse 5 and 7. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I'd like to read verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. In verse 5, it says, he who abides in me and I in him. And in verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Abiding in me and my words abide in you does not simply mean believing in Jesus, but the latter being united with the Lord through His love and grace. It means trusting, to rely on Jesus, loving Him, and living a life of obedience. It is like a branch receiving constant nourishment from the vine. Furthermore, the my words will dwell in you. It means that the Lord's gospel, teaching, and lessons become our thought and standard in life. It means living a life according to His word. When this state is maintained, He promised to grant us whatever we desire. However, it is important not to misunderstand this as meaning that He will grant us everything we desire without limit. The desire of the one who abides in union with Jesus and in His word is no longer what we ourselves want, but because it is the desire of the one in whom Jesus and His word dwell, all that is desires become one with the Lord's heart. Amen. Every prayer offered with the Lord's heart and according to the Lord's will is, in fact, a prayer in line with the Father's will, and because it becomes that which the Father God Himself purports to accomplish, such a prayer cannot but of the fitting prayer, and every request of such a prayer cannot but be answered. Amen. The Lord's prayer was not according to His own will, but according to the Father's will. So He was able to receive the answers to all His prayers. In this way, the answers to all prayer and the power to answer them come from the changing our heart to be like the heart of Jesus. According to the Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, the scripture said, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Without understanding this principle, if we persistently ask, we may mistakenly think that God will not deny what we want and will grant it, as if God had given us a blank check and said, write whatever you want and I will pay for it, filling it with whatever we desire. Ask for anything, but if you ask for something wrong, He will not give it. There is conditions. When we pray in the true right of God's will, without the darkness in our heart, our desire fulfilled, God hears our prayers. When we pray with a heart that seeks only God and asks, how can I live according to God's will? According to the 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Amen. In other words, if our will does not first submit to God's will, if it does not align with the Father's will, no matter how earnestly we ask, it will not be fulfilled. Therefore, we must have knowledge of God. This is the foundations. However, without such knowledge, not only are prayers unanswered, but curse, murder, and violence abound in our heart, as stated in Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Then, what does God desire? Let's look at the Psalm chapter 51, verse 17. The scriptures give the answer to us. Is that the sacrifice of God a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. We must pray with a heart that is torn apart and deeply repentant, a heart that repents over our sins. If we have sinned, God cannot help but turn away from us. There is no need for pastor or elders there. According to the Psalm chapter 66, verse 18, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And John chapter 9, verse 31, we know that God does not hear sinners. So, therefore, God is most pleased when we repent of our sin. He said that he is more pleased with one sinner who repent than with the 99 righteous peoples, according to the Luke chapter 15, verse 7. Why is that? God desired to bless us abundantly, but because of sin, he cannot do so, and this caused him great sorrow. According to the Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, is the representative of the God's mind. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so sure that it cannot save, neither is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. That is the reason of our sin. Those who take sin lightly, who do not even realize they are sinners, their prayers are not heard by God. Therefore, the Pharisee prayer, who claimed to have done everything according to God's word, was not answered, but the tax collector's prayer, who confessed his sin and offered it to God, was accepted by God. Let's look at the Luke chapter 18, verse 11 to 13. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other peoples. It looks like what they call them the sinners, right? But how about that? The verse 13, but the tax gatherer, is that they call to the Pharisee call to the sinner, but the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinners. Should we not first examine ourselves to see if our prayers contain the same content as the Pharisee? Are we offering prayers to God while still harboring unconfessed sin? Look at this. And second, if we pray with unbelief, with a heart that does not believe, God will not answer. According to the James chapter 1, verse 6 to 7, I like to read, but let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Those who are in deceivers and wavering in their hearts, who believe one moment and doubt the next, will not receive an answer from God. And Jesus said in the from the Mark chapter 11, verse 24, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them. Amen. When the Lord came to this earth and forgave the sins of the sick and the sinners, he always answered those who came believing that he would surely resolve their problem. The channel of the answer was according to your faith. So be it. And third, you must not have idols in your heart. Even though you say you believe, your thought and the priorities are centered on yourself rather than on God. You do as you please. Furthermore, you live your life mistaking your own will for God's will. Here, you must examine whether all your prayers are for yourself. According to the Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 3 to 4 and 7, you can find out that they look like what the believer, but is in their heart. There has contained another God, another idol. So God knows that. So is God answer to that kind of person? I like the verse 4. Therefore, speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, any man of a house of Israel who set up his idols in his heart to put right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then to come to the prophet, the Lord will brought to give him an answer in the matter in view of the multitude of his idols. God does not respond to those who come with a divided heart. There could be no response for the Israelite who wavered between Baal and God. And fourth, if you harbor hatred in your heart, there will be no response. According to the Mark chapter 11, verse 25, the Jesus talked to us, and whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your transgressions. No matter how much a person tries to hide it, it cannot be hidden. Before the world, everything is laid bare like a naked body. Therefore, is according to the Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14, the scripture said, the bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. I'll give you another one. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. Philippians chapter 2, 3 to 5. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ. What kind is the attitude? Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with a humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Amen. If you do not forgive others, your prayers will not be answered. The fifth, pray while listening to the word. Pray without listening to the word is all in vain. It is pursuing one's own desires without hearing God's words. Not only today's passage, but also, as I give you another one, the Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even this prayer is an abomination. It is said that if a person closes his ears and does not hear the law, God finds even his prayer abominable. Therefore, we must devote ourselves to reading, hearing, and keeping God's word. Therefore, in the Scadia chapter 7, verse 11 to 14, I liked it. Some of the verse is at the verse 11, but they refused to pay attention and turned the stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears from hearing. So, verse 13, and it came about that just as he called and they would not listen, so they called and I would not listen, said the Lord of hosts. This is the meaning of the words, since you have not listened to my word, shall I listen to your prayers? Do you keep the God's words in your heart when you pray? You must pray with a grateful heart and understanding. According to the Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 to 25 and verse 28 is one to us, because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. Therefore, we must pray with the heart that hears and believes God's word and the heart that keep it. Prayer must be like a war. Will I live or die? And the prayer must be one. That is how we live. The sixth, it is with all our heart, my inner and outer person, my flesh and spirit must seek God with all my heart. According to the Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, the scripture said, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search for him with all your heart and all your soul. With all your heart and all your soul. Our entire being must be engaged. According to the Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12 to 13, the God talked to us, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. This is God's covenant and promise. John Bunyan, who wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, said this about the prayer. Prayer is a shield that protects the soul, a dedication to God, and a whip that drives away the devil. Therefore, we cannot overstate how important prayer is in the lives of those who believe in Jesus and have been saved. Prayer is a spiritual battle against our enemy Satan. Don't we have to win this battle in order to live and die? Isn't the image of the Lord praying earnestly until his sweat became like a drop of blood, the very image of a battle? According to the Luke chapter 22, verse 44, is that Jesus Christ the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, and being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like a drops of blood falling down upon the ground. However, we have not fought to the point of shedding blood, so we cannot have but lose. According to the Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, scripture, talk to us, encourage us, you have not yet registered to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. I pray in the name of the Lord that you and I may pray with earnestness and fervor, asking for God's power, authority, and strength to fight against Satan and victorious. Dear beloved saint, we must pray like the Jacob did. Let's look at the Genesis chapter 32, verse 26. Then he said, let me go. The God said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. God is my banner, my victory, that is, the banner of the cross of Jesus Christ, and we must never stop until we lift it high through prayer. Therefore, the prayer that receives an answer is Jehovah Nissi. That Nissi is the banner. When you do not give up, but continue to pray until the very end, until the victory is won, it brings glory to the Father. I pray that this precious work of becoming the Lord's true disciples will come upon all the members of our Love First Church. Amen.